Please stand by. We're about to begin. Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the IBM Subcapacity Licensing Announcement for Distributed Software Teleconference. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Raj Krishnamurthy. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi. Thank you, Peter. Hi. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining the call. I'm going to start off the call and then hand it over to Carlos Belak, the Manager of Pricing Strategy. I am going to tell you where Roger Kerr has sent a meeting notice to all of you, and it has the link for the SubCap Excel webpage where the presentation is located. And if you go into the SubCap webpage, it'll be one-third of the way down. It has the November 6th meeting, and it's called the Subcapacity Announcement Overview Final, and that's the presentation. Now, if some of you are having problems accessing that or getting to that page, I'm going to tell you how to get to the page from the Passport Advantage Excel website, the main site. So you would need to go into the PA Excel website, and you would click on Sales Resources. Then once you're there, then you click on, under Pricing and Licensing, you click on Passport Advantage, and that will take you into another web page, and the third main category under that, General Program Information. The fourth subcategory is called Subcapacity Licensing and Passport Advantage, and that will get you into the same area as Roger's link that was provided, and there you'll find the presentation called Subcapacity Announcement Overview Final. So with that, I will hand over the call to Carlos Belak, the Manager of Pricing Strategy for the Passport Advantage Program.
Thanks very much, Raj. So the chart deck that I'm talking off of, the first page says Passport Advantage Subcapacity Announcement Overview, November 6, 2007, IBM Software Group. And if for those of you who are still having trouble accessing it, I know we're having some server problems this morning. You could go ahead and ping Roger Kerr on rkerr at us.ibm.com, and he'll send you the charts straight away. In the meantime, I'm going to get started. The presentation should take about 30 minutes. And then we'll have time for Q&A at the end. So let's move to the agenda page. And you see on this page, page two of this chart deck, toward the bottom, that I want to talk about the announcement, subcapacity announcement that Software Group is making next Tuesday, November 6th. And before I talk about the announcement, we'll be talking about general subcapacity licensing concepts, get some familiarization around licensing for virtualized environments. But before we talk about that, we'll talk about just general basic software licensing principles. And the first thing on page three that I want to talk about is basically just a status for the overall subcapacity announcement. To let you know where we are and where we were and where we're going. And really, let me just take you back to 2005 when we created the subcapacity announcement. At that time, we were really supporting essentially System P, System I, Power 5, AIX 5 technology. And when we created the offering in 2005, we created at the same time three key terms or requirements on customers, and we'll be talking about those terms and where we are with those terms as we go through this deck. But essentially, we told our customers that they were required to use our license management tool, they were required to register the administrative server with an IBM back office before they could be eligible, and they also were required to report back to IBM every quarter. And then in 2006, you know, after a year, we updated the announcement to include additional technologies, namely support for x86 technologies. And then another year passed, April 2007. We recognized that the initial requirements that we had placed on our customers, the three requirements I had just mentioned, were making the offering more complex than we needed it to be. And customers were having a difficult time managing with those three requirements. And so we communicated to our customers that those three requirements were temporarily suspended. And we told them in April that we would, you know, update them at the end of this year. And so here we are in November 2007. And what we intend to communicate now is the elimination of two out of the three requirements that we created back in 2005. We, at the same time, we're going to tell our customers that while they no longer need to register the admin server with IBM's back office, and they no longer need to report to IBM each quarter, they still need to still need to use the license management tool. And we're telling them that that tool, the new and simplified version of that tool, will be available sometime in mid-2008. And so we're actually planning another announcement for mid-2008 to coincide with the release of the new and simplified tool that our customers will be required to use once it becomes available. Now, in addition to that messaging around the elimination of two terms and the availability of the new simplified license management tool in mid-2008, we are also adding support for x86, whereas previously it was down to a chip level of granularity. It's now down to the processor core, and that's consistent with the licensing, subcapacity licensing for all the other technologies that we support. And we're also announcing, since next Tuesday, System P is doing a major announcement around new virtualization technologies. We are announcing our intent to support those new technologies in the future. And so that's really what we're, and I'll be covering in more detail exactly what we're going to be announcing next Tuesday, but that's kind of an overview of where we've been and where we're going over the next year with respect to the subcapacity offering. So essentially, we're simplifying the offering, but we're going to maintain the requirement that customers use the tool, and we see the tool as a benefit for our customers, and we'll talk about that more in a minute. So let me move on to page four. And on page four, basically want to lay out the licensing strategy. And this strategy that we have here permeates our licensing for basic licensing as well as subcapacity licensing. And while it's very simple, it's important to keep in mind as we go through these charts. So basically the three objectives that we have are to price our middleware so that it scales with the value received by our customers, price it competitively, and at the same time price it so that it's simple to understand and simple to measure. And when you think about how we measure the value of our software, there are really two primary measurements that are used for 90 to 95% of our revenue in the distributed portfolio. And I should say that I should have said at the beginning that this entire presentation is focused on licensing for Passport Advantage middleware, so middleware running on distributed systems. Anyway, the two primary metrics are per user, so count the number of users, and as the number of users increases, the price increases. And the second one is measurement around processor capacity available. So the higher or larger the processor capacity available to the middleware, the higher the price. And for a long time, we were using per processor licensing, and we were requiring one per processor license for every processor core on a server. And we were until July of 2006, when we introduced processor value units, we were on this simple per processor licensing. But many of you who have listened to licensing presentations in the past will know that we recognized in 2005, essentially with the introduction of multi-core processors from Intel and AMD vendors, that not all processor cores were the same in terms of the performance and processor capacity available to our customers, and we needed to differentiate and create more granularity. And so we introduced processor value units in 2006. And if you move to page 5, let me just take a moment and talk about the transition from per processor licensing to processor value units. And it's really, before we can have this conversation, we need to understand that we have two different types of license, or two different types of licensing entitlements. We have entitlements for maintenance, in 12-month increments, maintenance entitlements, so-called software maintenance entitlements, and we have license entitlements. And so when we announced PVUs in July 2006, sometime thereafter, beginning November 1st, we started issuing our maintenance renewals in PVUs, and customers who renewed or, you know, who placed orders on those renewals at that time were transitioned technically from per processor to PVUs. And since we've, you know, about a year has passed, most customers have, for their maintenance entitlements, transitioned to PVUs. That's true for most customers, except for customers in long-term contracts that were written in per processor. Those long-term contracts will tend to stay for the maintenance entitlements and the per processor entitlements in per processor until those long-term contracts are amended or renewed. But essentially, except for long-term contracts, our customers' maintenance entitlements have been converted to processor value units. Now, in the middle of this page, we talk about the status of previously existing per processor license entitlements. And with respect to per processor license entitlements, we do not intend to systematically convert customers' licenses to PVUs. Instead, what we've done is we've created a mechanism whereby customers can use their existing per processor license entitlements on an as-if converted basis to PVUs using a ratio of one per processor license equals 100 PVUs. And when we talk about PVU or entitlement requirements for new processor technologies, we intend to maintain a licensing congruency whereby there's no advantage whether or not you've converted from per processor to PVUs. So deployments, for example, on dual or quad core x86 processor cores require either 0.5 per processor licenses or 50 PVUs per processor core. Makes no difference. And the same is true for Power 6 technology. It's either 1.2 per processor licenses or 120 PVUs per processor core. Makes no difference. So just to recap, maintenance entitlements are being converted upon renewals from per processor to PVUs. Per processor licenses are not being converted, but customers can use those per processor licenses on an as-if converted basis. All right, if we go to then to page 6, most of you will be familiar with this table. There's a website link here for customers. When they go to this site, the first thing they will see is the table here on the right side of page 6. You can see that there's four different colors representing four tiers, each with a different number of PVUs per processor core. and the technologies are arranged in these four tiers. So in the days before PVUs, when we were on per processor licensing, we asked our customers to identify the number of processor cores available to our middleware, and we would require that they acquire one per processor license for each core. The difference now, the additional requirement, is that customers need to identify the type of processor cores that the middleware is deployed on, and then using this table, identify how many PVUs are required for each core. So it's the number of cores that they always had to identify times the PVUs per core, and that equals the total PVUs required for a given software product on a given technology. So that's how this works, just a recap. Many of you have heard this already. So if we go to page 7, just to close on how the PVU structure works, what the concept is here. Essentially, PVUs provide more flexibility through the additional granularity on this one per processor license times 100 PVU conversion ratio. We have granularity now in increments of 100 PVUs. And the way PVU structure works for new technologies, if you look at the table on the bottom of this page, the concept is that we want our customers, as they deploy middleware on new processor technologies, that they receive improving price performance, or another way to look at that is an improvement or a decrease in the price per unit of throughput as they deploy on new technologies. That's what the green arrow represents. And what we will do is we evaluate the performance of new technologies relative to processor technologies being replaced. We'll evaluate the performance, and then we, depending on where the performance is, we will assign processor value units such that customers experience that improving price performance. Now, so let's go to page 8. So we're now going to transition from basic licensing concepts into subcapacity licensing for virtualized environments. Before we do that, on page 8 here, let me just point out that if you're not using our subcapacity offering, if customers are on full capacity, they need to acquire processor value unit licenses for all the processor cores on the server. If they're using our subcapacity offering, then they can license, and then they can license to less than the total number of processor cores on the server. With virtualized technologies, they can, in some cases, we'll go through. We have some examples here to go through. They can overassign processors relative to shared processor pools, thereby improve the utilization of processors on these virtualized environments and effectively improve their total cost of ownership. And we'll demonstrate just how that works so that you have a clear understanding. Starting with page 9, a very simple example here. This is a server with no partitions or a full capacity licensing scenario. And in this case, if you go to the bottom of the page, you see that there are 8 physical cores in this server on page 9. And the 2 middleware workloads, WAS and MQ, have all 8 cores available to them. And so in the cores to be licensed box on the top right, you can see that 8 cores need to be licensed for WAS and 8 cores need to be licensed for MQ. If we go to the next scenario, this one is a scenario, same exact size server, 8 physical processor cores. But in this scenario, we have set up 2 simple partitions, or static partitions, if you will. They're not changing. They're set up, and they're meant to be this way for a long period of time. And there are 4 processor cores available to the middleware in each partition. And you can see in this example where WAS is in both partitions, therefore it has eight processor cores available to it. It requires licensing for eight processor cores, but MQ, perhaps in the prior scenario, didn't need all eight cores to be available to run that workload. In this case, it's partitioned and has only four processor cores in partition one available to it. And so the customer, instead of needing eight processor licenses for eight processor cores, now needs licenses for only four processor cores. So even with simple static partitioning, the customer is able to improve their TCO. And then if you go to a more sophisticated virtualized partitioning environment on page 11, again, it's a server. If you look at the bottom, let's work from the bottom up, a server with eight physical cores. In this case, the customer has set up a shared processor resource pool that has six processor cores available to it. And then it has partition number four, a dedicated partition or a static partition with two processor cores. And the customer has isolated the MQ workload into partition number one, whereas the customer has set up three WAS workloads. And those WAS workloads are deployed in partition number one, number two, and number three. And you can see that the sum of the processor cores in the three partitions that are pointing to the shared processor pool actually exceed the physical resources available to the shared processor pool. And so what you see here is a situation where at any given point in time, you know, the customer has selected these workloads so that the peak capacity of these workloads don't overlap. But at any given point in time, WAS in partition number one has four processor cores available to it, and so normally would need licenses for four processor cores. In partition number two, the same, and in partition number three has two processor cores available to it. So without this shared pool configuration, the customer would need licenses for 10 processor cores, but we have a license capping rule as part of our subcapacity licensing offering that says since only at any given point in time a maximum of six processor cores can be available to WAS, the cap is six licenses or licenses for six processor cores. And so you can see instead of 10 cores to be licensed, it's six, and the customer, again, has a way to improve their TCO through this licensing structure. And then on page 12, we kind of wrap this up, what I just talked through, with numbers. And you can see the three scenarios are summarized here. For example, let me jump down to scenario number three, the most interesting one, the one we just talked about, the one with the shared resource pool. If you look in the full capacity licensing columns, you can see that the number of cores to license would be, without subcapacity, would be eight for WAS, eight for MQ, and assuming 100 PVUs per core, times an SRP, this is U.S. dollars as of September 30, suggested retail prices, per PVU of $155 and $66 respectively, you get a total SRP, the cores times the PVUs times the SRP, of $124,000 for WAS and $52,800 for MQ, or a total of $176,800 under full cap licensing. Whereas under subcap licensing, because of the capping rules, because of using only four processor cores to manage the workload for MQ, the total cost is driven down to $119,400, a substantial savings over the full capacity example. So you can see that, I think you can see fairly easily that this offering is going to be very appealing to customers, particularly sophisticated customers that are going to make use of the highly virtualized technologies. So with that, let me move into page 13 and sort of summarize on the benefits of IBM's process capacity licensing before we get into the announcement next Tuesday, more specifics around the announcement. So first of all, I want to mention that with PVUs, continue to license to the processor core. We believe that granular measurement of processor capacity available is going to be more and more important advantage to our customers, particularly with virtualized environments. With PVU licensing, we believe that provides us with a flexible structure that provides a more fair price to value based on the processor capacity available for new processor technologies that we're assigning PVUs to. And with sub-capacity licensing, customers are allowed to license to less than the full capacity of the server. And as we discussed, customers can leverage virtualization technologies to improve their overall total cost of ownership. Excuse me one second. Sorry. So one thing we want to point out here in the bottom of page 13, as customers use these virtualization technologies, if we have been in the habit in the past of creating or allowing high discounts for our customers because they were using full capacity licensing and not really using all of the server, as we start to move into virtualized environments and customers start to drive up the utilization of servers, you know, I would think that we would consider lower discounts. Lower discounts may be appropriate. It's something to understand there. As we go to page 14, then, let me move into what it is we're going to say specifically on Tuesday in terms of our announcement. First of all, as I mentioned at the onset of this session, we are eliminating two terms, the requirement that customers register the LMS or admin server with IBM's back office, and the requirement that customers report quarterly to IBM. I should say, with respect to reporting, we're not eliminating reporting. We're going to require that customers run reports, but that they maintain those reports. They don't need to report back to IBM. So we're trying to get away from, you know, quarterly reporting. It's a little bit too onerous. Instead, you know, run your own reports, review your own reports, maintain your own reports, and be ready in case of an audit. But you don't have to mail or send reports to IBM each quarter. We're working on simplifying the license management or metric tool, and that tool will be available in mid-2008. There's a whole lot of people working on that tool and the simplification of that tool, and it's making quite good progress. And then with respect to the System P announcement on Tuesday, they are going to announce five new technologies that I've listed here, and we are going to announce our intention. It's a statement of direction to support those technologies by the end of the fourth quarter 2008. End of the fourth quarter 2008, right. The messaging here is that we are pointing customers and System P salespeople should be coming to Software Group sales representatives where customers are looking to acquire these new System P technologies. Customers may have questions. They may come back to our sellers, and ask you about how software licensing works for these technologies. You should understand that We are not saying that these technologies are eligible. They're not part of our subcapacity offering in terms of eligibility. However, we are allowing a special bid for customers who do want to acquire Power 6 boxes and deploy these new virtualization technologies. And you should get with your support teams if you have customers approaching you or system P salespeople approaching you saying that the customer is interested in these new technologies, so that you're in a position to have a conversation with your customer around the licensing rules in a special bid situation for these new technologies. And we have created high-level as well as very detailed scenario-based collateral to help you and customers understand how licensing works for these System P technologies. And so we're announcing our intention to support, and in addition, we also, as I mentioned, are announcing additional granularity for x86 technology. We're going down to the processor core, and the same is true for Sun's octi-core Niagara processors. Page 15 is a recap. The two big X's are meant to show very clearly that we're simplifying the offering by eliminating two of the key terms that we created back when we created the offering back in 2005. Page 16, these are the announcement letters, the three forms of communication our customers will receive in connection with the November 6th announcement. There's the announcement letter itself. We're preparing a letter to our customers, advising them of the contents of this announcement and pointing them to the public website, which has been updated. And then on page 17, I have here a simple recap of the licensing requirements. I know there's been certainly some changes, elimination of terms, and so let me just point out here what the requirements are. First of all, customers must sign the subcapacity attachment. That's still in place. Customers need to use eligible IBM programs, and those programs have unique subcapacity part numbers. So not all programs are eligible subcapacity. There's a list. Customers must use eligible virtualization and processor technologies. Again, if you go out to our website beginning on Tuesday, we'll have a very clear list of what virtualization and processor technologies are eligible. And customers will need to use the new simplified license metric tool when it becomes available. It's temporarily, the requirement is temporarily suspended, but it will be reinstated when the tool becomes available mid-2008. Again, the list of supported technologies and products can be found on the link here on this page. And there's an important note on the bottom of page 17. Let me just point out that customers are required to install the tool when it becomes available. And while the terms are temporarily suspended, it doesn't relieve customers from their responsibility for acquiring sufficient quantities of license authorizations to comply with subcapacity terms. Okay, so let me wrap up here with one other point around licensing on page 18, and that is to say, customers can, you should recognize that we, as I mentioned, have subcapacity programs have unique part numbers, and customers, if they're looking to deploy or to make use of our subcapacity offering, have to acquire those subcapacity part numbers. They could acquire for new licenses, new deployments. They could go in and acquire new subcapacity part numbers, or they can convert from full capacity part numbers to subcapacity part numbers. And that's true whether or not their licenses are stated in PVUs or per processor. There's a mechanism to convert, and you should contact your local support representative for the instructions and the process and the forms. But effectively, you can convert from per processor or PVU licenses to full capacity licenses to subcapacity licenses. But in any case, whether you're coming from per processor or coming from PVUs, both your license entitlements in this case and your maintenance entitlements will be converted to subcapacity PVU entitlements. So contact your local support representative if your customers want to convert from full capacity to subcapacity. Okay, so with that, page 19, there's some links here, subcapacity licensing links, as well as the XLPA portal page. And on page 20, the point here is that if you go out to the website, you'll find the latest technologies, both virtualization and processor technologies, supported. So with that, Peter, if you could open it up for Q&A. I think we should have about 20 minutes left for Q&A.
And ladies and gentlemen, our question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you do have a question or a comment at this time, please signal by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Keep in mind, if you are using a speakerphone, make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, that's star 1 for a question at this time. If you have no questions in the queue, I'd like to remind the audience one more time, it's star 1 on your telephone keypad for questions. We do have a question from Toshi Sugimori with Tokyo, Japan, IBM.
Hi. We see that there will be a further enablement of the tool coming out until fourth quarter of next year. And meanwhile, how should we guiding our customers until that happens with tomorrow's announcement?
Well, so with respect to the announcement tomorrow, you know, keep in mind that System P is announcing new virtualization technologies, and we, in our announcement, are saying that those technologies are not yet supported. However, what I said was that we have prepared scenario-based collateral for us to use in special bid discussions with customers, and customers may, you know, want to go forward with that. However, what we need to warn our customers about is that our licensing tool, which we expect will help them identify the number of licenses required, number of PVUs required, will not be available until middle to the end of next year. And so if they're looking to use our subcapacity offering and deploy on these technologies, particularly, you know, the newer, more sophisticated virtualization technologies, it's going to be manual. They'll have to keep track of, you know, the settings that they institute in the servers and how many licenses are required with those settings. So, you know, we're on manual until we get the tool available.
And get into the subcapacity by manual operation.
Well, right. So basically, they'll need to keep track of how many licenses they require by understanding how they configure their hardware. So, I mean, we recognize that that we're in a bit of a interim, you know, situation. We would much prefer to have a tool available to help our customers. But the tool, you know, the tool we had at the same time we recognized was too difficult for our customers to use. So we had to take a step back. We had to say, look, let's temporarily suspend the tool
and let's go back and simplify the tool. Let's pull out some of the requirements so that the tool is easier to use. But when we get there, you know, in another 6 months to 12 months, we'll be in a much better situation, and our customers will have a tool, you know, that's easier to use and works for these technologies. Now, at the same time, I have to express that in the background, behind the scenes, there are a great many number of IBMers working on this tool, working to simplify the requirements, working on identifying how these new virtualization technologies work, and how they how the licensing should work for them, and how the tool can support that licensing. So we're making a lot of progress, but we are in a situation where we took a step back in order to take two steps forward in the future. So right now, we're on manual. Customers need to identify the licenses that they require manually until the tool becomes available. But, you know, that when they sign the attachment, they also are recognizing that they will, you know, they're obligated to use the tool once it becomes available. We think it's a good thing for them, but it is a requirement at the same time. Does that help?
Yeah. I understand. And can I expect that the guidelines until the tool becomes available would be also announced at the tomorrow's announcement? Those new announcements you have mentioned.
You say the guidelines. You mean, not sure what you mean exactly.
On what the customer has to do.
Well, the customer, you know, the guidelines are listed here on page 17, kind of a summary of the requirements, and it starts with the subcapacity attachment. So basically what the guidelines are is, you know, you have to sign the subcapacity attachment. You have to acquire subcapacity part numbers, either new ones or convert your existing full capacity entitlements to subcapacity entitlements. Then you have to make sure that you're creating a subcapacity environment that's eligible, right? So not every virtualization technology is eligible for our subcapacity offering, right? And the reason for that is, you know, we want to make sure that we have both the licensing tool available to support each technology that we say is eligible. And we also want to make sure that we have clear scenario-based collateral so that customers and you, our sellers, can look at the collateral and say, okay, here's how the licensing works. If I configure the system in this manner, then I'm going to need this many licenses, right? So we want to make sure we have clear collateral, and we want to make sure the tool supports the technology before we say it's eligible. So while we support many virtualization technologies, we don't support all of them. So you need to check the list that you'll get when you hit the link on page 17 here.
I will refer to the page 17. Thank you.
Yep.
One more reminder. Star 1 for questions, please.
Well, while we're waiting, let me just, you know, just say another word. I mean, really, what the status is and what this announcement is about is we took a position in April earlier this year that the offering, the tool, it was too difficult to use. And we had a lot of our customers saying it was too difficult. So we needed to take a step back and simplify it. And we put ourselves on a course whereby we temporarily suspended the requirement that the tool be used, and we temporarily suspended reporting quarterly to IBM. We temporarily suspended registration with IBM. And we knew at that time when we took that course in April that it was going to be at least a year before we would be back to where we needed to be and in a better place, because we would then have a more simple tool, a more simple process. But while the tool is being improved and simplified, We are continuing to work with each hardware vendor, including System P and System I, but also with Sun and HP and VMware, working with all those vendors and looking to include those virtualization technologies into our offering. It takes time. We're working to get there. And so we're in a sort of interim period while we're improving the offering, I think, significantly. And then by the middle of next year, toward the fourth quarter of next year, we'll have a new tool and a substantially better offering than what we had when we took this course in April. It's going to take some time. We're getting there. And in the meantime, while we're on manual mode in terms of customers not having a tool or a simple tool to use, we do have the collateral that is at your disposal, and we have certain experts to the extent that we do get into customer conversations and need assistance. So you should reach out to your normal support representatives, and they will know who to go to depending on the situation. Sorry, Peter. Any additional questions while I'm talking?
No other questions at this time. One final reminder, star one for questions, folks.
Okay, well, then I'd just like to thank everyone very much for joining the call and participating. I urge you to stay close to the changes in our subcapacity offering. I think that virtualization technologies in general are an important and increasing trend. I think our customers are going to use this technology more and more to improve their overall TCO. And so the more you understand about the offering, I think the better position you're in to support your customers. And we'll be working hard behind the scenes to support you. So thank you very much. And good selling in the fourth quarter.
And ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's presentation. Thank you for joining us today.